Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. So we're going to have this young man come and preach. He's been studying, preparing, waiting on the Lord. You excited? Good. Well, we are excited for you. So come up, open up the Word of God, and be a blessing to us.
Amen. Please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. We will be reading Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 13 through verse 26. At 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay a hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck. Then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolations of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this day. We ask you to just give us all wisdom. And in Jesus' name pray, amen. Webster's 1828 dictionary says, wisdom is true religion, godliness, piety, the knowledge and fear of God, and sincere and uniform obedience to his commands. My sermon's going to be about wisdom. Here's what wisdom is and what it's like. It is better than silver and gold. Amen. Wisdom can help you whenever you need help, and silver and gold can only help you sometimes, so it is better than silver and gold. It is more precious than rubies and everything you desire. Wisdom is more precious than anything at all that you desire. It will help you length of days and riches and honor. Let's say you're putting shingles on a roof and you think, do I need a harness? And you decide to use a harness, and then when you're starting working on the roof, you take a misstep and start to fall, and your harness saves you. So wisdom may give you length of days. Wisdom is pleasant and peaceful. When you are doing a hard job and the Lord gives you wisdom how to do it, and that makes the job pleasant, so is wisdom pleasant and peaceful. Wisdom is a tree of life to those that laid hold on her. If you try and get wisdom, it will help you through life. Happy is everyone that hath wisdom. Have you ever been working on a problem at work or at school, and you're sweating about it, and suddenly a light bulb clicks on, and you suddenly think up the answer and use it? How do you feel, happy or just like you felt before you were doing the problem? How the Lord used wisdom. He founded the earth with wisdom and established the heavens with it. Have you ever gone on a walk on a scenic trail and seen all the beauty that God created? God used wisdom to create it. By God's knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down dew. The Lord used wisdom to create the earth, and he used it to make the clouds drop down dew. How wisdom will help you. You will be happy. It will make you happy because you will know what to do when a problem arises. It shall be life unto the soul and grace to the neck. Thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and you won't stumble. When you lie down for bed, you won't be afraid, and your sleep will be sweet. Let's say you're getting ready to go to bed, but you're worrying about a big job tomorrow, and how you might not be able to get it done on time. Then suddenly you remember that God is in control, so you decide to pray about it. Then once you're done praying about it, you get into bed, and you drift off into sweet sleep. You won't be afraid of sudden fear, or of the desolation of the wicked. One day, let's say you're going on a walk, and suddenly a big dog starts to run at you. At first you think you should run, and then you say, good doggy, and the dog slows down and comes to you and starts wagging its tail. You start petting it, and then the dog's owner comes out and says, "They're sorry about that," and the dog doesn't usually hurt people. So the owner goes back inside, and you thank the Lord for giving you wisdom to deal with the dog, so you won't be afraid of sudden fear. The Lord will be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. Let's say you're in the midst of a big city, and you're getting ready to go to a business meeting, but you're a little lost. But the Lord is your confidence, and you figure out where you need to go and get there in time. So the Lord will be your confidence. Here's the conclusion. Let it not depart from you when you get it. So when you get wisdom, don't let it depart from you. If you keep the wisdom, the Lord will be your confidence. Remember, wisdom is a tree of life. Wisdom is also precious, so keep wisdom.
Thank you, sir. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Amen. Wisdom is the principal thing. By the way, I appreciate what Pastor Griesbach said about getting in the habit of reading a proverb a day. We need wisdom. There's 31 proverbs, one for each day, so you could find something in there. You need this, especially teenagers. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. Thank you for that message on wisdom. It was a blessing. Thank you. Good. All right. Next up, we'll have Mr. Zebedee come up. Now, are you going to act out yours? You don't know? Do you need a knife?
No.
Okay. Good. They're awake now. Good. Thank you. Come up, preach the word of God.
If you wouldn't mind, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3, verse number 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which he had two edges of it, cubit length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal, and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, whom said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he said, sitting in the summer parlor, which he had made for him alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it unto his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed up the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. And when he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried there till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the door of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and behold, their lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Seirah. And it came to pass, when he was come, that they blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down from after him, and took the fords of Jordan upon Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty, and all men of valor, so there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to be here today. We want to pray that you would be able to use my mouth, help me to speak what you would have me to speak, and just help us to be able to enjoy our night tonight. And in your name I pray, amen. The first thing we see here is Israel's captivity. Look with me in verse number 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So we see here that there's this king, Moab, and he's coming to, he has them in captive. And then we see in verse number 15, Israel's deliverer. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, a man left-handed by him. The children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubic length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. So we see here, Eglon, he has a dagger, and he hides it over here, and he's left-handed. And then his plan is to make sure the room is empty, so that way he could kill him. But he has to have something with him, so that way he has an excuse to be there. So he has a present, and he wants to give it to him. Verse number 18, and when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bare the present. And he himself turned again from the quarries and by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who have said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out. And Ehud came unto him as he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had made alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he could no longer draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. So he took his dagger and he stabbed it in there, and then he could not get it out because of how fat he was. And then we see... verse 23, then when Ehud went through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them, when he was gone out of his servants came, and behold, they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked. And they said, surely he covereth his feet in the summer chambers. And they tarried there till they were ashamed, and behold, the door opened not of the doors in the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. So after he had killed him, he decided to lock the doors and then to go away. And the guards were like, the guards tried to open the door, but they realized it was locked. So they're like, he's probably doing something. Then they checked a few minutes later or something and realized that they got a key and unlocked the door and found him dead, and they were ashamed. And then in verse number 26, then Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarries and escaped unto Sirirath. And it came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down before him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty, and all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. So he comes back with to his people, and he blows a trumpet, and they all come, and then they fight off the Moabites, and they slay 10,000 men. And we come to the, what I want you to get from this message is that the battle is not yours. God wants to be with you, and he wants to fight your battles for you. You just have to let him.
Did well. So wisdom, and then we also understand that God answers prayer. So let's see what we have now. Mr. Philip, you ready to go?
Good. Praying for you. Excited to hear what you're going to do. Amen.
Please turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, and we'll read beginning at verse 1, and we'll read through verse 9. Beginning at verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which would be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said this unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please give me wisdom tonight. And please help me to preach a good message. Please help me, Lord. And please help the people here to understand it and to follow your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So the first thing we see here is the king put rulers over the kingdom. Let's read verses 1 through 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which would be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give counsel to them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So we see that Daniel had an excellent spirit. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 5 and verse 12. Forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found of the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. So this is when the king saw the handwriting on the wall, King Belteshazzar, and Daniel was called over there because they knew he could be able to interpret it. God gave him that so he could interpret it. So, Daniel had an excellent spirit. No fault was found in Daniel. He was a sinner, but he trusted in and followed God. Verse 4 of Daniel chapter 6 says, Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So we see that the men couldn't find any fault in Daniel. Let's also read verses 5 through 7. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said this unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save for thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. The rulers were jealous. They didn't want Daniel to be in that position. They also lied to King Darius. In verse 7 it says, All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. They did not consult Daniel about this, so they lied. Verse 8 and 9 say, Now, king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. The king signed the decree because he was proud, and he thought the decree was a good decree. Daniel prayed, for he was faithful to God. Let's read verses 10 through 11. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel knew the decree was signed, and he was faithful. He knew he had to pray to God. Still no fault could be found in him. Other men could find faults in him because he disobeyed the decree. He shouldn't have done that. Well, he should have, because he needed to pray to God, and he trusted in him. Let's turn to Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 say, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We must not worry about anything, but trust in the Lord and pray to him. If we in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The ruler said, Daniel, pray. Daniel 6 and verse 11 says, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They heard Daniel pray." Webster's 1828 dictionary, there's a long definition of prayer, and it says, "In a general sense, the act of asking for a favor, and particularly with earnestness. A worship, a solemn address to the Supreme Being, consisting of adoration, or an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfections, confession of our sins, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and benefits. A prayer, however, may consist of a single petition, and may be extemporaneous, written or printed." Remember Daniel chapter 6, that the word supplication is used. That word is, if you see here, supplication for mercy and forgiveness. Making supplication is making an earnest request. Daniel went to the lion's den, for he was faithful to God. Verses 14 through 17. "Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, That God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought, and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. The king did not want Daniel to go into the lion's den, but he realized his mistake. He had signed the decree, so Daniel must go to the lion's den. He told Daniel that God would deliver him." Let's turn to Esther and chapter 8 and verse 8. Esther chapter 8 and verse 8 says, "Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse." So in Esther's time, there was a similar law which said that when the king signed something, nobody could change it. This is when Esther wanted to save the Jews. Verse 18 of Daniel chapter 6 says, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him." The king couldn't sleep. He had music brought before him and instruments, but he still couldn't sleep. Early in the morning, let's read verses 19 through 22. "Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." The king went to see if Daniel was alive. The king knew that Daniel's God was the true God. Because he didn't follow Daniel's God, however, the king did not trust in him. He had doubts as to God saving Daniel from the lions. He did have half of an excuse, as we shall see here, but he should have gone to the Lord and trusted in him. Of course, God could have decided to let Daniel be killed, but here he was going to save Daniel's life. King Darius did know that Daniel didn't stand a chance against the lions. The lion is one of the largest cats and is very strong. It has sharp teeth and claws, and it is dangerous when it is angry or needs food. The lionesses usually do the hunting, but male lions fight as well. Some male lions can weigh 500 pounds. Although all of this is true, the king should have looked to God instead of thinking about the lions killing Daniel. People have hunted lions for a long time. Usually kings did such things to show how powerful they were. Pharaohs hunted lions long ago in Egypt with their servants. They rode horses or in chariots and hunted the lions while others watched. In places around the world, notably Rome, kings or emperors kept lions for shows. Many times this involved prisoners being killed for their crimes, and usually these prisoners did something extremely wrong in the eyes of the king. Other times this was the normal form of punishment for breaking the law. Sometimes, as in Daniel's case, the prisoners did nothing truly wrong. As we see here, Daniel being cast into the lion's den was not a show. It was simply letting the lions kill the prisoner, but Daniel's life was spared by God. Verse 23 says, "Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." Amen. King Darius had Daniel taken out of the lion's den because God had spared Daniel's life, and he was not killed. Daniel's life was spared because he was faithful, and he knew he must pray to God. Another great man of prayer was Hudson Taylor. Obviously living after Daniel's time, Hudson Taylor was not threatened to be killed if he prayed, however. Taylor felt called by God to go as a missionary to China. To get acquainted with medical knowledge and to be used to being away from home, he moved to Drainside Hole, where he worked as a doctor's assistant. He knew he was going to have to trust God in China for everything, so he started trusting God right then. Instead of asking people for help, he just asked God when he needed something. Taylor wanted to try to move men through God by prayer. He prayed for people to come to the Lord, and he tried to be a missionary where he was in England. One night, a man asked Taylor to help his family. Taylor went to the man's house, and he saw his family. The man's wife was sick, and his children were in rags, and they had no food or money. Taylor himself only had one silver coin and some food, and he didn't want to give his silver coin away. But he felt bothered by it, and finally he gave his coin away. He felt happy because he trusted in God, and he had given it away to that family. The next morning, a package came to his door. He opened it, and out fell a gold coin. It was worth 10 times as much as a silver coin. God had repaid him because he had trusted in him. Another time after that, Taylor was running out of money again. The doctor who he worked for was very busy, and he didn't remember to pay him often enough. So he asked Taylor to remind him when he needed to be paid. Taylor didn't do that. Instead, he trusted God. So that night, Taylor only had a little bit of money left, and he was running out. The doctor asked him, "Isn't your pay due again?" And he answered, "Yes, it was due a few weeks ago." Well, the doctor said he put all the money in the bank that day, so he couldn't pay him. Late that night, one of the doctor's richest clients came, and he paid him. So Hudson Taylor could be paid after all. The doctor gave him money. So he was repaid once again. Verse 24 of Daniel chapter 6 says, "And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the massacre of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den." How many of the rulers went into the den? The Bible doesn't say, but it was those men who had accused Daniel and wanted him to go into the lion's den. They got punished instead. Their whole families went into the den with them. This was the punishment for them because they had wanted Daniel to go into the lion's den when he had done nothing really wrong. Daniel disobeyed the decree, for he was faithful to God and had to obey him. Daniel did the right thing. Since Daniel had faith in God, he kept praying to him. God spared Daniel's life from the lions because Daniel was faithful. We should pray faithfully and have complete trust in God. Amen.
that. God spoke to me on that one. That was good. I'm thankful for that. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep looking up to Him. What a great God that we have. Oh, what a blessing. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhouse, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.